She does a good job with that. Take your Bible and turn, if you would please, to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark, chapter number 6.
It is just a pleasure to have the workers in here today. In fact, I'm excited that I have an opportunity to speak on a Wednesday night when the Wednesday night workers are in the auditorium, not upstairs. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I'm not planning on giving you an all-out Bible study, nor am I planning on preaching a sermon, a full-length sermon. I just want to encourage the Christian worker today. In fact, I'm not only speaking to the Christian worker who would be somewhere else in the building or who would before or after the service be working. I'm just talking to the Christian worker in general. I'll explain a little bit about that in a moment, but tonight the title is Rest for the Christian Worker. I know many of you are glad and happy to come to church this evening because you know that you're going to have an opportunity to sit in church and sing the gospel hymns, and you're going to have an opportunity to hear some speaking, and you're not going to have to be saying, sit down, or do this, or do that, or running around, or checking names off, or looking for books, or passing out papers, or those types of things, or on the bus, you know, trying to, everybody sit down, be quiet. And you were excited because tonight you get to come and be fed. I want to be an encouragement to you, and that's my purpose this morning. We're going to take it from the book of Mark, chapter number 6, and verse number 30. If you would please look at Mark, chapter 6, verse number 30. And by the way, it is my goal to let you out far before you would usually get out on another Wednesday night, okay? And so I'm really just trying to encourage you today. Look at verse number 30 of Mark, chapter number 6. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The disciples report to Christ and give him a detailed account of everything that had taken place, of all that had happened. Christ just previously had sent them out from village to village, had empowered them. They returned to Christ and they say, this is everything that happened. This is everything that took place. And they lay it all out for him. This is what we were used to do. And then Jesus, after hearing that, says to them, now come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and let's rest a while. Is there anything wrong with a Christian worker taking a brief period of time for rest and rejuvenation? Is there something wrong, or is there anyone against a person who is working their heart out, who has invested themselves into a certain task, saying, I am just going to take a moment of rest now? We know that it was evidenced here in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 31 that Christ said so. We know that in creation, after 6 days, the Bible says on the seventh that God rested. I believe there is nothing wrong with a Christian worker taking a little bit of time to rest. Up to this point in the gospel, the disciples had traveled, performed miracles. They were healings. They were teaching. They were preaching from village to village. And they were actively involved in the ministry. Finally, after reporting to Christ, Christ says, I'm no doubt very, very familiar with their human frailty. Christ says, all right, now let's go apart for a little while. There's been a crowd everywhere we go. We've had people just thronging on us at every turn. There has been one thing after another. There's teaching after teaching. It's been pure busyness for days now. Let's just take a moment, gather ourselves, go aside, and get a little bit of rest. It is at this time, this two-week period, that many of you are experiencing the same thing. You've been going for weeks now. And finally, it's time to rest. Whether it be through the Awana clubs, and every Wednesday night you're faithful to show up early, and you're faithful to stay late, and you're faithful in working with the kids, and you're faithful in pumping the scriptures into the kids, and you're just sticking to it. And finally, you get to come on a Wednesday night where there's no hustle, there's no bustle. It's just an opportunity for you to receive good Bible teaching. And I hope you do so this evening. And then there's many of you that usually would be jumping on a bus at 5 p.m. And you'll be riding around towns and you'll be picking up kids and the bus will be filling up. And you'll try to control the kids and try to have Bible stories with the kids and sing songs with the kids. And the bus, the capacity on the bus continues to grow. And or you're a driver and you're experiencing this. And the loudness. And finally, you come to church and there's just a little time of a big sigh, and then church is over, and you jump back on a bus, and then you arrive back 10:30 in the evening. And there's those of you here this evening that are bus workers that are thinking it's just nice to be able to come on a Wednesday night, a time of rest. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to look at what Christ did and taught and some of the principles that we are going to pull out of this passage that are going to tell us, give us a little bit more detail regarding the rest that Christ offered to His disciples. Look, first of all, I want you to notice that the rest that Christ was offering was for the active Christian worker. Now, I'm quick to throw this out because you and I live in a society that is centered around rest. In fact, when we were singing here with Brother Burton, you never do this, never use a prop without seeing, looking at it first. But I don't even know whose this is or what they're planning to do with it. But I saw this and I thought, well, what is this? But this is a perfect example of our society. You see that? I live for weekends. I don't even know how that got into our church pulpit, but oh, I bet I ruined preacher's Sunday sermon. Okay, listen, Sunday, when he reaches into the pulpit and starts to pull out a shirt, act surprised, okay? I don't know what that's doing there. But that is the motto of our society. I live for weekends. I work every day of the week, Monday through Friday, so that when Saturday comes, I'll get some time to rest. And then once they finish that up, then they go back the next week and they just can't wait for the next weekend. We live in a society that is consumed, that lives, and that works for rest. However, Christianity is just the other way around. Christianity is a life that works and then gets a little bit of rest, so that way they could jump right back into the work. As evidenced here by the disciples. They worked, they worked, they worked, they worked. Christ said, all right, now let's go into a solitary place. Let's just get by ourselves. Let's have a little bit of time to just rejuvenate ourselves, so to speak. Spend some time together. Then we're going to go right back out and work. See, that's the difference between Christianity, one of them, and our society. We don't live just to get away from what we do. What we do is our life. But every now and then we do need a little time to rest. I want you to notice regarding the disciples that after all of this work and after everything had taken place and day after day after day and they're moving from one location to the next and another to another and they get off a boat and there's a crowd and they walk and the crowd follows. They head off on another boat, head to another town. There's another crowd. Everywhere they go, there are crowds. The disciples doubtless may have thought, what did we get ourselves into? Everywhere we go, there are people that need us, and we're constantly ministering. Finally, Jesus says, let's get some rest. We're going to find out a little bit more about that in a moment, but I want you to notice in Mark chapter number 8, several things have taken place between Mark 6 and Mark 8 that have brought Christ to make this statement in Mark chapter number 8. Look at verse number 34. We're going to go over the details a little bit better in a moment, but I want you to understand this. If the disciples felt in their heart, we haven't stopped working, then Jesus made it very clear why. Verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, within the range where his disciples were right there, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When the disciples left their spots of living when Christ walked by and said, follow me, follow me, follow me, they dedicated themselves to His service. And maybe during this time they were becoming fatigued, tired. They were wearing down not only spiritually, but they were wearing down physically. And maybe in their minds they thought, I don't know if I can go much further. This has been nonstop. It wasn't like this before. Christ, maybe knowing all of these thoughts that were going through their mind, says, you have to understand, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross. There is going to be a measure of work and sacrifice when it comes to the cause of Christ. And Christ made that very clear to them. In other words, The rest was for the active Christian worker. You know that every Christian really should be an active Christian worker? You probably think that I'm talking about, oh, if you're not in the bus ministry, you're not an active Christian worker. Oh, I wish I could say that, but then we have a bunch of bus workers. Or Beth probably wishes I could say, if you're not in the Awana ministry, you're really not an active Christian worker, because then everybody want to get into the Awana clubs. But I'm not making that statement. I'm just saying every worker should be an active Christian worker. You know why? Because your life should be a life of service to your Savior. Remember, the Bible makes it very clear that you are not your own because you're bought with a price. Everything that you do in your life, you should do with a mentality and an attitude of service to our God. If you believe that our God is a sovereign God in control of every situation in your life, then He placed you in your place of work just as specifically as He placed me in mine. Yours is your ministry, and my place is my ministry. But our lives ought to be lives of ministry. Everywhere you go, and in everything you do, you ought to consider yourself and remember the fact that you are a servant of God. Whether you're working in a factory, whether you're working in a warehouse, whether you're working in McDonald's, in a business office, or in a church office, it doesn't matter. You're placed there by God, and because you're placed there by God, then He expects you to be a servant there. Your life ought to be a life of an active Christian worker. And not only that, but you'll remember that the epistles, the New Testament, makes it very clear that each individual that is brought into the local New Testament church is brought for a specific reason within that church. There is not to be a just someone who just comes in and is a pew sitter and takes in the church. God placed you here for a very specific reason. He has a goal in mind. He has a task in mind. He brought you to Faith Baptist Church because He knew that there was something that was at Faith Baptist Church that you would be able to offer more of. A ministry in our church. You say, what are you talking about? What type? Well, it could be anything. The numerous. It might be the ministry of working on the bus ministry. It might be the ministry of working the Awana clubs. It might be a ministry of a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school assistant. It might be the ministry of a some type of youth worker. It might be the ministry of a nursery worker. It might be the ministry of singing, the ministry of in the choir, ministry of playing an instrument. It might be a prayer ministry. You might be placed here specifically for a financial ministry because the Lord has blessed you financially and He wants you to give and help the church move forward financially. I don't know, but I do know this, that God placed you here because He wants you to be doing something here. And I believe every individual should be active in their local church. A Christian worker, not only in your life, but a Christian worker within the church. Those are the individuals that Christ says, now that you're a Christian worker, let's come aside and get some rest. I want you to also notice that Christ knew when the rest was absolutely necessary. Go back, if you would. Let's go back to Mark chapter number 5. No, let's go back to Mark 4. Look at Mark 4, verse number 38. I want you to see what they've been through. In Mark chapter number 4, verse 38, the Bible says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" We find Christ sleeping underneath the back part of the ship during this storm. He takes off and he says, "Peace be still," once he gets up. Then that starts everything that takes place to the chapter we're at. In verse chapter number 5, look at verse number 3. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." You remember the demoniac of Gadara whom Christ healed? That's the very next thing they go into there in chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, drop down to verse number 27. The Bible says, "When she heard of Jesus, she came in to press behind, and she touched his garment." You find Christ healing again in verse number 27. Drop down to verse number 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. So they go from one healing to a next healing. A lot of movement, a lot of ministry taking place with Jesus and the disciples. Then verse number 6 picks up. Verse number 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works and are wrought by his hands? So you find them teaching. Then verse number 5 of chapter 6. And he could there do no more mighty works, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them. He goes from teaching right to healing. And then in verse number 7, he gathers his disciples together and says, he called unto him the 12, began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. So he goes from teaching to healing to gathering his disciples to saying, go from village to village two by two. Stay active. Don't have anything with you. Trust me. I'm going to take care of you. Go, go, go. And then verse number 12 and 13 of that chapter. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they're active. They're involved. They're working. Drop down in that chapter, chapter number 6, to verse number 39. And right at that point, once they get back from preaching in the village, they report to Christ. Christ says what? All right, fellas. Whew. After all of that, let's get some rest. And then right after he says, let's get some rest, you find, it's just amazing. You find verse number 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship. How did they go? Privately. They're sneaking away, trying to get some rest. But verse number 33 says, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto them. We're working, we're active, we're busy, we're staying faithful. Oh, it's time to rest. Let's get into a ship. All right, let's go. Wait a minute. There's a whole crowd of people following us on the shoreline. We're not getting away. The rest that we thought was going to come, it doesn't look like it's coming after all. And did it come? Did Christ really know when they needed their rest? No doubt he did. What happens? The ship lands. The ship gets on the shore. Christ starts to teach them. After he teaches them, the Bible says he has compassion on them. And in verse number 39 and 40, you have the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples walking the baskets around over and over. And then in verse number 47, and when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. So the disciples think they're having rest. It doesn't come. They end up feeding over maybe 10, 15,000 people. And after they do that, Christ says, get on a ship and go ahead of me. And then the next thing you know, you find them on the ship rowing and rowing because the waves are contrary. Where's their rest? They thought it was coming. What happened? And then in verse number 56 of chapter 6, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. So when they finally get to land again, guess what? More people there. Do you see the nonstop ministry that the disciples are experiencing here? You say, does it get better? Well, in chapter number 7, they're approached by the Pharisees. And most of the first part of chapter number 7 is Christ teaching against the Pharisees. And when he finishes with that, finally they'll be able to get some rest. Well, in verse number 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. So he travels. And again, when he gets there, can't hide him. Everybody knows him. People there. Verse 29 and verse number 30, you find Jesus healing some more. Verse number 31, you find that Jesus leaves there and goes by the Sea of Galilee into the midst of the coast of Decapolis. More traveling. Verse number 35, you find when Jesus arrives there, he has to do some more healing. There are more people wanting help. So he heals. Chapter number 8 begins, and in verse 1, 2, and 3, you find the feeding of the 4,000. Again, Christ has compassion upon the multitude. Do you see the busyness? All through chapter number 8, He's busy ministering. And then in chapter number 9, finally, it starts to slow down. Jesus pulls the disciples aside and does a little bit of personal time with them, teaching them, just the disciples and Christ. You say, why did we go through all that for? Because Christ told the disciples, let's come aside and rest. But then the people kept coming. So they kept ministering. For days, for chapters later, they were still ministering. Did Christ make a mistake? Was it premature in saying, let's go and rest? Or did Christ just know when the rest was absolutely necessary? I believe He did. Listen, workers, you ever got to the place where you think, I can't go any further. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I am spiritually drained, physically drained, mentally drained, and I just don't know if I can keep pressing forward. Listen, when it's time to rest, I can guarantee you that Christ will provide that for you. And He'll make that available for you. He knows when the rest is absolutely necessary. But sometimes the rest takes a little bit longer than we expect to come. And because the rest takes a little bit longer than we expect, we end up being pushed a little bit beyond our comfort zone. You see, and then it's when we get pushed outside of our comfort zone that we begin to exercise greater faith, that we begin to exercise more trust, because then we know, we feel, I can't do it. Christ says, all right. I can. See, but Christ knows when the rest is absolutely necessary. You say, is there such a thing as a Christian worker working themselves to a bad place in life? Yeah. Yeah, there has been. When it's time for rest, Christ will provide it. Make sure you listen and obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Christian worker will have rest. God will give it to you exactly when you need it. But I want you to notice that the rest never eliminates the calling. In Mark chapter number 6, look at that. I want you to see this. Mark chapter number 6, verse number 34. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep having no shepherd. The disciples relaxed. It's time to rest. But there's still more people. And Jesus sees them. And Jesus says, I still have compassion on them. And even though we were expecting rest, the people need us. See, the rest does not eliminate the calling. Look at chapter number 8, verse number 2. The Bible says, Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And Jesus feeds the 4,000. Compassion. Even when they were expecting rest and going to take the rest, Jesus said, there's still the need. You see, when you're resting, it doesn't eliminate the calling. That's what differentiates Christian work from just secular work. Some of you are able, maybe not all of you, depending on the responsibilities that you have, but some of you are able to get away from your place, your work environment. And a lot of you, as long as you take care of everything and you leave the office all right, you can get away for a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, and it's all right. You don't really have to worry about it because everybody else takes care of it. And sometimes our workplaces are like that. We're able to just get away. It's no big deal. I can just get away because it's my vacation time. And I don't have to worry about a thing about it. Hey, I get a phone call. I'm on vacation. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I always admire my parents as Christian school, as school teachers working in the public schools, because they get summers off. And during the summertime, oh, it's all right. Doesn't matter. I just get to have a nice 3 months of vacation. I always admired that. I'm thinking about asking preacher if we can do the same type of thing here, you know, summer vacation. Nah, no way. But anyway, you see what I'm talking about. You see how it's nice to be able to get away. Well, when it comes to Christian work, it's not like that. Christian work, the calling never ends. You know why? Because Christian work is not merely a duty, it's a calling. When you take on a ministry at this church, You're not just taking on a position for the sake of position. You're taking on a position because you believe the Lord has called you to that position. And you're going to be faithful with it no matter what. Duty just comes from someone outside saying, here you go, you have to do it. Calling comes from a God-placed call in your heart that says, no matter what, it's my desire to do it. The difference between duty and calling. Christian work isn't merely duty, it is a calling. And a duty can be dropped, but a calling cannot. It comes from within. So even during our times of rest, it doesn't mean, oh, who cares about people? It doesn't mean I don't matter if it doesn't matter if that person's not saved. It doesn't mean there's somebody over there crying, but I've got these 2 weeks off and I'm not going to go minister. Now you know it's not like that. Why? Because you know, you sense that. Why is that? Because it's not your duty, it's your calling, and you know it is. And even when it's time to rest, just like Jesus, the compassion, the heart, it's still there. And you can't just let it go. Because a Christian worker is not just what we are or what we do. A Christian worker, I should say, is not just what we do. A Christian worker is what we are. And no matter what, I'm going to do it. And even during my time of rest, I still have my calling. And I want you to notice in chapter number 9 of Mark, finally the disciples are going to get some time of rest. In fact, the Mount of Transfiguration takes place in Mark chapter number 9. Rest was the time to recharge you. Jesus pulls the disciples away and says, let's have some personal teaching in Mark chapter number 9, and He's able to do so. What do you do during your time of rest, Christian worker? Study the Bible. You know? Don't just read it devotionally. Study it. I encourage you, Christian worker, during these next 2 weeks, take a certain subject on, or book, or chapter, or verse, and get as deep into that verse as you possibly can. Study it. Cross-reference it. What does the other passage of Scripture have to say about that text? Anything in relation. You say, I don't know what to do. Start reading through the book of Acts. Study the first church. Study the heart and the passion that the first church had. Jot some things down that interest you or that spark your interest regarding the first church in the book of Acts. Do make a study, a particular Bible study. And then during this time of rest, make sure you get time of prayer. You need to pray during your time of rest. Allow the Lord to recharge you through the relationship that you can have with Him. Just because you don't have to be on that bus, or just because you don't have to be in that room, or just because you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that, it doesn't mean you can relax and quit everything. It means now it's time to get into the Bible. Now it's time to really spend some time in prayer. I'd encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to ask the Lord to give you a greater deal of compassion during this time. And I would also encourage you to ask the Lord to deepen your spiritual life during this time. If during this time of rest you grow spiritually, then you will be better prepared when it's time to get back to work. But if during this period of rest you allow yourself to slip into a spiritual coma where you are not active or involved in anything spiritual at home, then you are going to be wiped, hesitant, and absolutely not looking forward to it when it's time to get back to work. So allow this time of rest to Bible study. Get into the Bible. To pray. To take on a greater deal of compassion. And also to deepen you spiritually. Allow the Lord to work in your heart so that you can then work with somebody else. That's the rest that the disciples were able to experience. That's the rest that God wants you to have. For the Christian worker, no doubt. And God knows exactly when you need it, and He must have known that it was time now. God also knows that because it's your time to rest, it doesn't mean that you don't have your calling. And then God says, listen, now that you're resting, take advantage of it. Get into My Word. Get on your knees and come into My throne room. Ask Me to deepen you, to strengthen you, so that you're ready to get back into the trenches when it's time. If you'll do those things, then you, Christian worker, will have taken full advantage of the rest that was given you. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, I really do thank you for all of the workers that are present in this room. And I know that there is a great deal of them. I know that there is person after person after person here tonight that puts a lot of work into what they do. As a church, we appreciate it. But I know also as their Savior that you love it. You enjoy seeing it. Now they've been given this little time to rest. I pray that they would take full advantage of it. I pray that they would utilize it to allow them to grow, to deepen, to strengthen their spiritual lives. I ask for your hand of blessing to be upon them. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right.